Well, US politics is roiling over racism as Donald Trump has claimed he tried to stop "send her back" chants from supporters at a rally in North Carolina. The president had fueled the crowd with comments earlier in the week that four Democratic women of colour who are newly elected to Congress, who some have dubbed the Squad, should go back to where they came from. All four are American citizens and only Omar was born abroad, Ilhan Omar. Speaking to reporters at the White House overnight, Donald Trump insisted that he tried to move on with his speech quickly when the chant started. You'll also hear what happened at the rally, so you decide.
You asked them to stop saying that.
Well, number one, I think I did. I started speaking very quickly. It really was a loud... I disagree with it, by the way. But it was quite a chant, and I felt a little bit badly about it. But I will say this, I did, and I started speaking very quickly, but it started up rather fast.
Omar has a history of launching vicious anti-Semitic screeds. And she talked about the evil Israel, and it's all about the Benjamins. Not a good thing to say.
So that's how it played out. Dr. Emma Shortis writes about US history and politics. She's a research fellow at RMIT's EU Centre. I asked her first whether it makes any difference politically, whether the president's version of events is true or not.
That's a good question. I think you're right that Trump has shown us that he can say things are black when they're white and his supporters will continue to believe him. I think that's reflective of the extremely distorted media landscape in the US and just what Trump has kind of done to politics in that country. So I think, you know, it probably won't have an effect on what his supporters think or what those who oppose him think, but it is still pretty extraordinary, I think, to see a president just engaging in bald-faced lying like that again and again and it not seeming to have any political effect on him. It is quite extraordinary.
But also extraordinary, isn't it, to see that crowd chanting those words in that way, and that's an echo of other similar incidents, I suppose. But also, on the other hand, Ilhan Omar, who has gone back to New York and been welcomed by, you know, many, many, many people. I mean, a real kind of contrast, extreme contrast.
It is absolutely an extreme contrast. I mean, the vision of that Trump rally, I think, sent chills down the spine of a lot of people, you know, despite it not being that far outside of the kind of rhetoric that Trump has been using for a long time. Seeing the crowd chanting such racist words was really quite striking. And the contrast then with Ilhan Omar and the response that she's received is pretty striking. And I think that's the reason that some are suggesting that politically this strategy might backfire for Trump, because what it might conversely do is mobilise a Democratic base. You know, one of the reasons that Clinton lost the election in 2016 was because of low Democratic voter turnout, and it is entirely possible that, you know, Trump's extreme actions in this sense, which are quite literally putting people like Ilhan Omar and people who look like her in danger, in physical danger, you know, that may well, and I think actually we are seeing it mobilise the Democratic base.
But the Democrats themselves have had internal tensions over these four women of colour, these new congresswomen calling themselves the Squad, including Omar. I mean, they've been unresolved about these newbies and their liberal push as well, haven't they?
They have. There have been some real tensions in the party between, I guess, what you might call the kind of establishment side, the more kind of Clinton Pelosi Republicans who are, I guess, set on being more moderate. They're having arguments about how to deal with Trump, whether to even pursue impeachment. And meanwhile, you have this, I guess, this kind of new generation of Democrats, which are much more left-leaning. They're much more vocal. They're pushing much more progressive policies and pushing the Democrats to be stronger against Trump, pushing them to be more progressive. So we're seeing those internal tensions play out on a big stage with really big consequences. And I think Trump thinks, and what he is trying to do at least, is capitalise on those divisions.
Earlier presidents have played the race card in US politics. I mean, Johnson, Nixon, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, I mean, all of them. Is Trump any different?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm a historian and, you know, historically speaking, you don't have to go that back that far to have presidents who were actual slave owners. So it's certainly not unusual for us to see racist presidents in office. But I think, you know, one of the things that some analysts have been saying about Trump, what's different about him when you compare him to other presidents who were undeniably racist, like Nixon, is that Trump says the quiet parts loud. So Trump isn't afraid to be openly racist and use openly racist phrases when other presidents might have shied away from that kind of language. Their policies were certainly reflected their racism, but they wouldn't use those open terms and incite the base in a way that Trump has done.
Some have pointed to the 1939 case of the MS St. Louis with 900 Jewish refugees from Europe on board who were refused permission to land in the United States and elsewhere. They were sent back and many died in concentration camps as a result. Is it fair to suggest that there is some broader failure in America to really reckon with its nature as an immigrant nation?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I think that failure, it's not just isolated to America. That failure is spread across the Western world. It also points, I think, you know, we often look to external comparisons, of course, with Nazi Germany when we're talking about this kind of white supremacist rhetoric in America. But we should also remember that there's a long history of that domestically. You know, part of the reason that those Jewish refugees were turned away in 1939 was because there was actually quite a strong strain within American politics that was supportive of Hitler and Hitler's policies. We can see the legacy of that throughout American history up until today when anti-Semitism and racism is again rearing its ugly head.
Emma Shortis, thank you very much for speaking with us.
That's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Emma Shortis from RMIT.